But let's read here in Matthew 1. We're going to go to verse 18 and read down through the end of it there at verse 25. All right? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for how you fill us in, God, on this Christmas story, Lord. And Joseph certainly needed to be filled in. He didn't know what was going on. And it was a perplexing time in his life. But Lord, I thank you for some of the truths that we have that we're going to look at tonight, that you encourage our hearts with it, strengthen us and help us with it tonight, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We quoted there Isaiah. Isaiah also said in chapter 53 of his book about the Lord, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. So here he is. Isaiah talked about his birth, but Isaiah also talked about his crucifixion. And Isaiah said he was a man of sorrows. And I want to try to relate some of that tonight, that Jesus truly was the man of sorrows. We say, man, I tell you, now that we got saved, it's wonderful and everything's supposed to be perfect. But it's a life of faith and it's a life of, it's a journey of battles oftentimes too, right? In our Christian life, until we get to heaven. And Jesus demonstrated for us how to live life on this earth with all its difficulties. So he came into the world already acquainted with grief, as I'll try to show you tonight. He was born into some situations that were not so ideal and so great. And he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, no doubt about it. Because the Lord's birth was not, it was really surprising as the Son of God. There was nothing royal about it. There was nothing grand about it. I mean, it was in a barn. It was in a stable. It was in a smelly place. It was shunned from the motel, right? You remember all that? And the story as it goes there. And it was not a royal entrance into this world. By the way, the world that He created. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. I mean, He was acquainted with grief. He was a man, the man of sorrows. We understand that. And Isaiah prophesied about His birth and His death as he talked about the coming Messiah. And I think we see a lot of it right here in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He can relate to you as you go through your troubles, because He's already walked on this earth, and from the very moment He came into this world until the time He went out of this world, He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And sometimes your life feels that way too. Thank God for the good moments. Thank God for the good times. But it's got its share of struggles and problems and worries and stresses. Amen, right? So sometimes we all could say we're acquainted with grief sometimes. And we say, you know, good grief, not this again, not that again. What now? You know, we go through these things in our life. And perhaps it's been that way from the time you were born, as Job says. Well, let's look at a few ideas tonight. Number one, I want to say this. Jesus identified with sinners. He identified with sinners. Now, we know he identified with sinners when he was baptized. Whenever he went out to the Jordan River, sinners were being baptized, they're repenting of their sins, and right there among, in the midst of all of that, Jesus shows up and lets John baptize him. Not because he has any sins, but he identified with sinners right there in his baptism. We certainly know on the cross of Calvary, up there between two thieves, where the criminals were crucified and the criminals suffered the death penalty, there's Jesus right there in the middle of it. He was identified with sinners. In his birth, he was identified with sinners as well. Now the Bible says, we read about it right here, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Before they came together, she was found with child. Before they came together, it was on this wise. This is how it happened. Before they came together, she was with child. That's why Joseph's trying to figure out what he's supposed to do about this. Everybody's a little surprised, or everybody's a lot surprised and shocked about Mary in this whole situation. I know people probably think, well, the birth out of wedlock. People think today, well, you know, back then they thought everything was a sin, you know, and people laugh it off today. But folks, I think the difference is that people back then knew God. They knew His Word. They knew His ways. They knew His will. And today we have no regard for God's Word. So it is a big difference today. Yes, it was a stigma that she was found with child before they were officially married. It was a big problem. Now, it's in the will of God. Obviously, this was a miraculous thing that God did. But in so doing, it didn't look good, it didn't look right, and it had a stigma upon it. And in the very beginning, Jesus was identified with sinfulness. There was no sin involved. But you know how it looked. You understand what I'm saying? Mary and Joseph had to deal with that situation, that it did not look like it was supposed to look. And it looked as if Mary had been unfaithful and Mary had been involved in fornication. That's the way it looked. We know better. We know that wasn't the case. But nevertheless, that situation was there. And what else were people supposed to think? What else was Joseph supposed to think? What else was her parents and her family supposed to think? What else was society supposed to think? She said, hey, look, this is a miracle. It's going to be the Messiah. This is of God. This is the Son of God. And they're like, where is the insane asylum for this girl? If she wants us to believe that story, come on, right? They're like, I've heard a lot of excuses, but I never heard this one. And even Joseph is battling with it. So in that sense, on this wise, this is how it happened. The Bible points it out, before they came together, she was found with child. It looked bad. There was a stigma upon it. And that's how the Savior of the world came into the world. You know, folks, to save us from sin, He had to become sin. We know on the cross He did. He took the sin of the world upon Himself. Now, He was never a sinner, don't misunderstand. But He did become sin for us. He was made sin for us, right? And He identified with sinners all throughout His life, from His birth to His death. From His birth, His baptism, to His death. Now, Jesus was pure and righteous, never sinned. Everybody knows that. But we see these identifications. Why? Because He became a man so that He can reconcile sinful man to a holy God. He was made sin. He never failed when temptation came. He never yielded to temptation. He never sinned. Yet He suffered for our sin and He paid the death penalty for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Why did Jesus have to come? Because your sin had to be paid for. You say, well, can't I pay for it myself? Yes, but that requires an eternity in the torments of hell. Jesus died in our place, suffered our sin for us, and suffered our death penalty for us so that you and I could be saved from hell. Amen. Thank God for it. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved from hell. Why? Because Jesus is my Savior. He was my substitute. He died in my place. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid the penalty. So He identified with sinners even from the very outset outset, it looked like a sinful situation. He identified with sinners. But let me say this, number two. Jesus identified with the poor. He was born not, again, he wasn't born into the palace. He wasn't born into royalty. He's the King of Kings. He's the Son of God. We don't have a room for you. We got a barn out back. Hey, don't you understand? This is the Messiah. This is the King of Kings here. The wise men understood it. The innkeeper didn't. He didn't care. Got a stable out back if you want it. You can use that. The Lord was shunned. He was not treated like royalty, even though he had just left heaven. He identified with the poor. I'm glad he identified with the poor. That lets me get in this thing. Amen. I was born in poverty. You were born in poverty, perhaps. My parents were poor. I'm glad my daddy got saved and it got better. Amen. But when I came into this world, they were not rich people. They've never been rich people. And God's blessed them, still taking care of them to this day because God's blessed them. But had my dad not got saved, it would have been pretty rough. I know, because that's how it started out. If you were born into poverty, raised up into poverty, Jesus can relate. Amen. He's already walked there. He's already been there. He was born to a poor family. He was born in a stable. His first visitors were lowly shepherds that we preached about the other day, that are a despised class of people. He grew up and he started his ministry and he told people, I have no place to lay my head down. I don't have a place. I don't have a house. I don't have a home. He grew up in the home of a carpenter. He was just a common working class person, Jesus was. As most people, I think he lived week to week, paycheck to paycheck, maybe day to day. But he understands that people aren't wealthy and aren't rich. He's been right there. By faith, he prayed every day for his daily needs and he trusted the Father's provision. Anybody ever got to live like that? Just pray every day, Lord, and I need your help. I'm not set for life yet. Anybody set for life? You say, I'm set for life. Amen. And in this world and in this economy, I don't know if anybody's guaranteed that. The Bible says he was tempted in all points. I think tempted in all points, we think of sin, but you know what? I think that also includes your finances and the struggles that you go through. He dealt with all of that in all points. Financial struggles, he knows about it. How's this going to turn out? How are we going to make ends meet and all of that? Jeremiah said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord is. And that's the way Jesus lived, trusting the Father for daily provisions. We have to do the same thing. Amen? By the way, you say, I got enough money, I don't need God. No, no, no. In God we trust is even on our money. Amen. Thank God for that. It's not in the money we trust, it's in the God we trust, right? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. There was a young businessman who got in some trouble financially, and he wrote to his mentor a letter asking for a loan and some money, and no reply came. And he's like, that's not like him. But he got no reply. He got worried. He got concerned. Time went by. No reply. Things got worse. The crisis was upon him. And when the crisis got it at its worst, he got a knock on the door, and it was his mentor. His mentor said, look, I got your letter. I did get your letter. And you asked for money. But I think more than needing money, you don't just need money, you need me. He said, I've gone. I've talked to your creditors. They know I'm going to back you up. Now you keep working on your problems. He didn't bail him out, but he helped him out, right? You know, that's what that verse said. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. That's what the man said. More, you ask for money. You don't need money. You need me. The Lord sometimes says, you don't need money. You need me. And God will do that to us sometimes. God will put us in a situation where we have to wait on Him, we have to wait on Him, and we have to beg Him, we have to pray for Him, pray to Him, but thank God He comes through, amen, in His own time and in His own way. He's faithful. But we realize it's not money or material blessings I need, it's the eternal blesser. the Lord that we need. Amen? Jesus lived his life like that. Didn't he pray? Didn't he live by faith too? He demonstrated this thing for us. Amen? He was the man of sorrows. He did identify with sin. He did identify with poverty. And I'm glad that he did, because he showed us how to trust God. Number three, Jesus identified with perplexing problems. He identified with perplexing problems. That's Joseph. How did this happen? I don't understand. The idea of Mary not being faithful, the idea that he could not trust Mary, he could not fathom the thoughts. Mary was a pure girl. Mary was God chose her, amen, to bring Jesus in the world. We know this, and he knew it too. So this, it blew his mind. It was a perplexing problem. He's like, how in the world could this have happened? Yet Jesus here is born into such a perplexing situation. Jesus is born into. His earthly father is a man of stress and worry. Anybody remember being a young father and having some stress and worry over your kids? Anybody remember being an old father and having stress and worry over your kids, right? It never goes away. It never stops, does it? His earthly father was stressed and perplexed about the situation that they were in. And he didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know. He wanted to respect Mary, but he felt like it was necessary. He had to break things off. And he didn't want to make a public example out of her. He didn't want to embarrass her and all of that. But thankfully, his father up in heaven came through and said, don't be afraid. This is a miraculous thing. This is of the Holy Ghost. This is of God. This is the virgin birth that the Son of God will come in the world without inheriting the sin nature of Adam like the rest of the human race. He is the sinless Son of God, and Mary is the chosen one who will bring him into the world. It was a miracle. I mean, that's the Christmas story. It's a miracle. Amen? And the angel came and shared that with Joseph. Now, I'll tell you, Joseph, he's worrying about it while he thought on these things, verse 20 says. While he thought on these things. That word thought is very serious. That is the most run it through your mind and worry on it as thought can be, right? That's what he was doing. What am I going to do? How'd this happen? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. What am I going to do? He's going over it. But you know what? Even after he got the answer, I still don't think it was that easy. Even after he got the answer, they still had the whole scenario to deal with, right? So here he is now with his perplexing problem. He now has the answer. But he's like, okay, God, okay, I got it. I ain't going to say I understand it, but I'm going along. You ever done that before? God, you've allowed this, and I don't understand why. I don't understand how this is going to work out. I don't understand. You know what? You have to find and follow the will of God, even in things when you don't understand what in the world God's doing. Jesus identifies. He was born into that kind of a situation, right? So here you are. You're praying and you're saying, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand the timing of this. I don't understand, Lord, how this is going to turn out. I don't understand how this plays a part in it. Hey, you just trust God, even though you don't understand it. You're perplexed. Hey, Jesus was even born into that situation, right? And his heavenly Father was going through all of that. You know, it's a major part of walking by faith that we just have to go through stuff that we don't understand why. Have you ever asked God, why did you allow this? Why did you let us go through this? Lord, I don't understand it. Anybody out there ever done it? Now, don't say, God, I don't deserve this. No, don't say that, because, just say, God, I don't understand why you let this happen. Lord, you said you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. You ever questioned that promise before? God, you said you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear, but I'm not so sure about it. That's why Matthew 11:28-30 is in the Bible. You yoke up with Jesus and He'll carry the load. Amen? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 34, delight thyself in the Lord, also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. He'll give you desires. He'll give you direction in your life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Have you ever had to just commit your way to the Lord? So Joseph, he awakes from this dream, and he just has to commit the future and the past to God. Trusting you with it, Lord, I don't get it, I don't understand it. The Bible also says in that same chapter, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Well, he was ordering his steps, although it was perplexing to Joseph. He couldn't figure it out. You know, the Bible is very relevant. The Bible, our feelings and our problems and our situations are in the Bible, but it's in the Christmas story as much as any other place in the Bible. It just shows us Jesus is the man of sorrows, and Jesus does understand what we're going through. So even when you don't understand, you got some perplexing problems, trust God with it, right? So He identified with sinners. He identified with the poor. He identified with perplexing problems. Number four, Jesus identified with heartaches and sorrows. Joseph was heartbroken when he found out Mary was with child before they came together. That's heartbreaking. He couldn't figure that out. He felt like he'd been betrayed by the one person he never dreamed could betray him. He's heartbroken about this. He's devastated at the very thought. Mary herself, probably she had some sorrow involved, and she had a hard time perhaps convincing her parents and trying to erase the thought out of other people's mind. They dealt with sorrow. They dealt with heartache. They dealt with rejection. They dealt with being looked down upon. The reproach of sin, by the way, Jesus was on the cross. That is the greatest reproach of sin there is. He said, take up your cross and follow me. The reproach of the cross. People say, well, I want a religion, I don't want a cross, and I don't want blood involved, I don't want sacrifice involved. No, that's the way it is with God, right? Well, the world won't accept it. They got to accept Jesus. We can't change the Bible so it'll be acceptable to this world, right? We just got to go along with God, and sometimes that is bearing your cross when the world doesn't understand and you go through much sorrow. So yes, Jesus was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief in more ways than one. You know, we think that just refers to the cross. It refers to His birth and His life. It's all taken up in that. So He understands and He wants to help. When you're in your valley of difficulty, when you're in your valley of heartache, when you're in your valley of being perplexed, you're in your valley of trouble and sorrow, He wants to help you. He's been there. He knows what it's like. He was born into it and He lived in it. You know, I'm glad the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, the God of all comforts. The God of all comfort. Aren't you glad that's who we serve tonight? The Bible says in that verse there, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God put the word comforted in there four times. Said, did you get the point? I'll comfort you. I'm the God of comfort. And in turn, you're going to comfort some other people when they need comfort by the comfort that I gave you. Joseph got comforted. He had to comfort Mary. Mary had to comfort him. They just kind of had to be together for a while there because other people didn't understand. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Aren't you glad God's compassion is renewed every day? Every day that you get up, a new load of compassion from the Lord. Amen. A new load of grace, a new load of forgiveness comes into your life. Amen? From the Lord. If we look to Him every day, say, Lord, I need more grace, I need more compassion, I need more mercy, I need more forgiveness, I need more of Your strength. The Lord was acquainted with heartaches and sorrows, so He understands. So, what do you identify with here? Sinners in the very beginning. poverty before. He identified with perplexing problems. He identified with heartache. And then number five, Jesus identified with hope and deliverance. What was the message? It was the good news of the gospel. You're going to name this baby Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What is Christmas about? It's about the good news of salvation. Amen? What is Christmas about? Jesus is the reason for the season. Christmas is about salvation. Amen? Christmas is about people confessing their sins and getting right with God and finding the peace of the Lord. Amen? Right? That's what Christmas is. He identified with hope and deliverance. He said, I want you to call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. That is deliverance. And then in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And what? They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You got God with you tonight? Do you have God with you in your heart? And God who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll lead you and guide you and help you throughout this journey? Amen. Is God with you tonight? That's the Christmas story too, amen? So he not only identified with sorrow and grief and trouble and trial and sin, he identified with all that, but he also identified with the victory over it all. He identified with the hope and the deliverance from it all. Hey, that's the Bible right there in a nutshell. Jesus is the center of all of it. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? The man of sorrows. What did Hebrews 4 say? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is touched by the feelings of your troubles, trials. Amen? But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because the man of sorrows is God with us. Amen? And he wants to help us through. The man of sorrows, he's now the one that helps you. As you and I live every day, how? In the way that Jesus demonstrated. As you and I live every day by faith and follow the Lord. Isn't that what Jesus did? You're going to identify with sin because you are a sinner. Amen? He identified with sin when he wasn't a sinner. He lived in this wicked, sinful world. But we were sinners who needed his forgiveness and his help and his deliverance. Amen? So he's the man of sorrows so that you and I can be delivered from our sorrows. He paid the penalty of death so that you and I could be saved from the penalty of death. Amen? Thank God. That's what Christmas is right there. The man of sorrows is what Christmas is. So I hope tonight you'll draw closer to the Lord and you realize, you know what? He identifies with me as a sinner. He identifies with me in my poverty. He identifies with me in all of my problems. He identifies with me in all of my heartaches and sorrows. And he also identifies with me as the answer and the hope and the deliverance and the salvation that I so desperately need. That's in the Christmas story. Amen. I hope that'll help you tonight. Let's bow our heads this evening, please. Lord, I thank you so much for, God, what you've showed us here tonight. God, I thank you for the emphasis, Lord, and the Christmas story, and Lord, all that it says and all that it means to us, Lord. God, encourage our hearts with this tonight. Help us to follow you, Lord. Help us to trust in you every day. And God, just meet the needs of this congregation, Lord, whatever they might be here tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. All right, brother, you want to lead us in one tonight? Let's stand, and he's going to lead us in a song.
Amen. Yes, let's stand, and I got a simple one. Not a Christmas one. Thank you, Lord, 343 in your hymnals. Thank you, Lord. We'll just sing that chorus. We'll sing it twice. Amen. We'll sing that chorus twice. 343, thank you, Lord. All right. Excuse me. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Amen. You may be seated.